Hey, what's going on out there? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk. You know what day it is? It's Wednesday. Or as the commercials say, you know what day it is. What day is it? It's hump day. Woo-hoo. For all those that love that little commercial. Oh, man. Welcome to the show. I hope everybody's having a great Wednesday and everybody's feeling pretty good out there. Good afternoon, Mr. Knowledge. Welcome to the show. I'm glad to see you in the house early. And so, today we have a show that's planned for you, man. I'm sure you're going to enjoy. And the topic of the show is, does your vote really matter? Now, I think we're going to really get kind of deep into this subject right here. Should be really, really interesting. That's all I can say, because I'm ready for it. I hope you're ready for it as well. Now, of course, before, you know, we get started into our music and our quotes and all that good stuff, we're going to go ahead and bring in our wonderful and talented and intelligent and beautiful co-host, Sister Ngone. Hey, what's going on?
Greetings, Mr. Talk. You have me blushing over here. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for asking.
That's good.
I'm doing outstanding today. I'm telling you, I'm calm. You know, today is jazz day, so we got a Mama Bear jazz thing for you today. So, oh yeah, we're going to have some fun, that's for sure.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
But and anyway. I, you know, in searching for the quote of the day, I hope you trust me because I found something better than I shared with you earlier.
Of you trust course. Me? Yes, I do. I have
right.
No problem. No
okay.
Problem whatsoever. I got you. I know you going to have something that's going to make our minds just twirl a little bit and test our logic. And
I do my best.
I know you do. I know you do. So I am not worried about that at all.
All right.
All right, y'all. Once again, if you're just joining us, we're going to have us a good show today. Yeah, we really are. To be a part, you want to be joining the conversation, just give us a call, 347-838-8622, or join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And you know what, though? Blog Talk, I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk. They seem to be switching and changing stuff. Man, I'm telling you, they're making it hard to find anything. I be trying to look for shows myself, and I be like, how do I get to this show? You know, it's just crazy. All these little different things they got going on. this new dashboard and all this other craziness they got going on. I don't know what we're going to do about that, but we're going to make it work. We're going to make it work. Okay.
Well, you know, Mr. Talk, I had a friend that was complaining, Sister Ottawa in Detroit, that she couldn't find your page. And what I suggested to her was to just put in the URL, blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk, which takes you straight to your page.
Right. And that makes it, hopefully that's what everybody's doing. That makes it a lot easier. You know, because mm-hmm. one used to be a time where you just go down and on the side right there in the boxes, you find the chat, you know, and say, Mr. Can you click on that? That brings you to the show. But Blog Talk and their little special stuff, I don't know, man. Sometimes just the improvements are good. They'll get us wrong, but sometimes they're just nerve-wracking. Getting used to them.
And then when you get used to them, they change.
Right? And on Blog Talk, they don't let you get too comfortable with them before they come up with another idea. But it's all good. It's all good. We can make it work like we always do. All right, y'all. Well, let's see. So, what else we got going on today? Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about, does your vote really count? You know, that's interesting, though, but I'm not even going to get started on that yet because I've been and forgot about the music and everything.
Oh, don't forget about the jazz now.
Oh, see, I know you ready for the jazz. So, so you know what? We're going to go ahead and knock the Mama Bear jazz mix out the way today. And I think I got a couple of good ones going on. I really do. It really made it work. I think I did something today. So without further ado, y'all, here it is, the Mama Bear Jazz Mix for Wednesday. Drum roll, please. All right. That was your Mama Bear Jazz Mix for Wednesday. I'm telling you, little Kevin Tony and Paul Hardcastle. That was talking about nice and mellow and easy going.
That was fabulous.
That's where you
want
to start.
That was fabulous.
All right. I like that. Kind of mellowed me out, so I'm feeling pretty good now. I'm ready to work now.
Well, you had me in here hollering.
Oh, did
you? Yeah.
And what was you hollering?
Yeah, I was in here hollering. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, for those who want to know the name, Paul Hardcastle, that was Interchanges, and Kevin Tony was Aphrodisiac. So y'all go and look those up. Yeah. But, yeah.
I want to greet everyone out there. I see Antoinette in the house enjoying life. N2K and guest, welcome. Mr. Talk, guess what?
What's up? What's going on?
Me 40 minutes, but I have the chat room open.
All right.
40
That's what
minutes
I'm talking
it
about.
Took. 40 minutes.
40 minutes, huh?
Yeah. But it's up.
Well, but it's up. That's a good thing.
That's
all
right.
Let's see. All right. So we got the chat room coordinator, Antoinette, there. The cold chat room coordinator is in the house. We got Enjoying Life with our two guests in the house. And we got that switchboard is loading up. So I think we about ready to get started here today. You know what I mean? I think we're ready. So, one more time. Y'all want to join the conversation today? No problem. Just give us a call, 347-838-622. Email us, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. And join us in the chat room, www.blogtalkradio.com/Mr. Talk. And let's get it on. Let's get it on. Of course, you know, we got to bring in, and we got to bring it in with the knowledge and the expertise of our great co-host, Sister Ngone. And it is time, y'all. It's that time, y'all. That's right. It's that time for the quote of the day.
Okay, here we go. Law is the product of man. What God can create, man can destroy. It is always politics. Even when people obey the law, it is a political decision. Spirituality is a tool. The state has employed it, always. For Homo sapiens are herd animals. Hate yourself enough and the world hates with you. Freedom is a two-edged sword. That is from Count Hans Klovenbach, former head of the Illuminati Jesuit order.
Oh, my. Now, see, you said a lot of words then at the end of that one.
That's
wow,
the black,
that was a... Huh?
The Black Pope.
Go ahead.
The Black Pope.
The Black Pope, huh? All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he's known as the Black Pope.
Wow. Now, I'm telling you, that was... Oh, man. Go ahead. You got my mind working now. Go ahead and expound a little bit on that quote, because I like the way you do that.
Pardon?
Expound on that quote.
Oh, well, I think it's befitting our topic today because, you know, like it says, even when people obey the law, it is a political decision. But beyond that, I think the part that struck me the most is when it talked about spirituality as a tool. And it said the state has employed it always. So that's something to think about. I think to really think about. I think it's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that it is. That it is. You know, you know, they you know, can take and do some things. They can take and do some things, even though it's not supposed to be done one way. They'll make it the way they want it to. Whether
well, what it brought to my mind was the church is now 501c3 corporation in league with
right.
the contract with the state. So when it says the state has employed spirituality as a tool, that's what my mind went to.
Right, Well, you know, the 501c thing is a undercover way of controlling what churches can do politically also. You know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
They want to get their if they want to get their perks, they agree, they contract with the state not to speak on certain things.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the way that's the way it's going. So that quote was very, very, very good. Very good. I like that. Let me give you some love for that quote there, because it's going to take
you,
us
Mr.
right
Talk.
Where we want to go. All right, y'all. Still today is, does your vote really count? Now, I know some of y'all are going to say, yeah, it really counts because so-and-so died, and my ancestors, they fought hard for us to have the right to vote, and so forth and so on. Well, let's start voting, y'all. Okay? Now, all the time, let's think about this. From, let's say, middle school, junior high school, however you call it, all the way up, you know, you have to vote for someone, say prom queen or most popular or whatever. Right? Now, this whole time, they're trying to get you used to this democratic, so-called democratic system of choosing the person you want to be at the top of the totem pole, I guess you can say. Now, at no time do we realize that it's the most popular person. You know, we just, that's my friend, and I'm going to vote for him, okay. But nobody is really, 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 uh-oh, here we go. It is, I read what office is saying a little bit. But no, at no time are we really noticing that we're being led into a system that we really have no control over. We really don't. Now, as we go on, you get to your local level, you know, then you have your local board officials and what have you. And then you, once again, you start getting into the money and the beliefs, once again, that you're going up there and clicking that little button or you know, whatever they're doing it now, that you are making a difference. That's great. That is really great. But does your vote really, really count for anything? Does it really count for anything? How many of us have really sat down and thought about it? You know?
Well, Mr. Talk, the first thing that comes to my mind is, in between your voting, what do you have to get for the vote that you gave? Do you have any input beyond that, after you vote for the one you like the best?
No.
Do they give you any input into the decisions they make that affect all of our lives after you vote?
None. And I'm glad you brought that out, because there's millions and millions of people that actually vote, you know. And the question is a very valid point and a logical one. What do you get out of that, you know, by electing this certain person? What do they do for you actually? And if you really take a look at it, not a dang darn thing. A lot of people can vote out of a sense of duty or commitment. You know, because that's what they say we're supposed to do. So let's go and vote, and let's go and choose the person we want. You know what I mean? But
what are you
really getting out of it?
They used to teach that in school, you know, civics, your civic duty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Your civic duty. But, and then, you know, your civic duty. What the heck is civic duty anyway? You know?
I think it's important for, you know, if you're going to have a free and fair society, then people have to be, I think, involved, and they have to be politically aware. They should have accurate and truthful information, which we know we don't get from the Fourth Estate, you know, press, who's now owned by, what, six corporations, so we know we don't get that. So how can you be well informed if you don't have accurate information from which to make decisions from? And So I think that, you know, it's important. It's, historically, as a matter of fact, I read that people in the 18th century were very well studied in the law. The people knew the law. Each state had a different form of law, but the people were active and, aware. But today we've gone to sleep. They put tell-lie vision on us and put us to sleep. So we think the only thing we have to do is go pull a lever every 4 years, and that's it. You don't have to know anything about the, the issues, policies, or anything like that. You just go for the personality or the guy that looks the best to you or a woman.
You know what? You said that, and you made a great point then. You know, oh, man, he looks good. Oh, she's fine. I'm voting for her.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what the heck you're voting for, because in the long run, whether you voted for the winner or the loser, what difference is that really going to make in your life? You know what I mean? So does your vote really count? Now, I see my line, the switchboard is kind of lining up with hands here. So let's see if we can bring them in.
All righty.
Mr. Wesley, welcome to the show. Eric Cole 786, welcome to the show. And Mr.
Thank you.
Hey,
how y'all doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I greet y'all in peace, man. I greet y'all in peace. And thank God for the Creator for bringing us together on this momentous occasion. But look here, man. Instead of me being a thermometer, like telling the temperature, I mean, we all pretty good at that. Is that correct? So what I see what things could be a mere thermostat, i.e., we already know politics is it's all mean a poly, mean many, and tick is a damn parasite. So what I'm seeing is we know all these politicians is crooked, right? The ones we voted for. So I'm thinking, well, it's not an original thought there, because I mean, I'm thinking this is what I'd say the solution is, but since nothing I think is original, okay, what we should do is all us like-minded and all the runaway slaves that ran up north to bring their ass back down here south, where we came in America, a lot of slaves, and start populating these areas, and then we can run the candidates we want to affect the change we want, and therefore a politician supposed to be helping the community, bringing jobs, i.e. happy better. So if all us consolidated in the south of Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, and then we can run our candidates and turn that state blue to black. What y'all think?
Well, I don't think whether it's blue, black, red, yellow, purple, I don't think that makes any difference, really, because, see, we have to talk about the diebold machines. That's who counts the votes. And they don't have a trail. And that's privately owned. The results are privately owned by corporations. So now you tell me what changing the color of a state is going to do to solve the overall problem.
Well, see, not being so pessimistic, I mean, if we get there and populate our own state, we can put our own machines in there. We don't have to use that boat, okay? If you the governor, okay, Mr. Talk the mayor, Joe the county commissioner, okay, low the freaking board of elections, we can get our own damn machines and count our votes fairly. See what I'm saying? We don't have to deal with that boat.
Well, Brother Wesley, I hear where you're coming from, but unfortunately, when it comes to the political system, I'm completely cynical because I think that it's completely corrupt to the core based on my...
So y'all going to be pessimistic instead of sitting on the sideline and whining about it. I mean, that's just like you see the water, and instead of the water polluted, instead of you cleaning the water up, it's time for us to quit crying and do what we need to do. I know everything. We sat by and let it be cynical and corrupt, okay? I blame that on us, the people.
Well, I'm not interested in blame, Brother Wesley. What I'm saying is that I think...
Man, I'm talking about solutions, man.
Me, I think the system cannot be reformed. That's what I'm saying.
If that's your way you think about it, then it will never be then, okay?
Well,
it will never be you thinking like that. It will never change.
Well,
your reality, that's your perception, that's your reality. It won't never change then.
I think it should be redone. I think it should be start over from the beginning, because you see, the whole idea of democracy is a trick, because this was a constitutional republic. And
yeah,
a democracy,
I agree with you on that. We're
staged socialism, which is the next stage to communism, and we're already past all that. This is the United Soviet States of America, okay? So voting, in my view, is not going to solve the problem.
But what's your solution to the problem, then? Sit on the sideline and whine and cry and bitch and say it ain't no good?
I'm just stating my view from historical understanding of how we progress to the point where we are, and I feel like, you know, it's important to face reality as I understand it, and that's the only thing I'm sharing with you. That's it.
Well, soon we're going to have to come up with some solutions, okay? We're going to have to quit being a thermometer and telling the temperature, oh, woe is me, everything bad, and come up with solutions, okay? If somebody's jamming you, you got to jam back and fight.
I think Mr. Talk wants to talk about whether voting means anything today. And maybe he'll have a day where he wants to talk about solutions. But he's the boss.
I mean, we can get to solutions later on, but let's get to the final, you know, the particulars of whether they are worth anything.
Okay, well, maybe I'm too far ahead of y'all, man, okay? I'm too far ahead of y'all, so you can put me on mute, and then y'all sit there and cry.
No,
about
I'm not
going to
put you on mute, man. You're good.
Peace and blessing.
You're good. See, because you got some minds thinking already. But I think, 786, I think you wanted to say something before I bring these other two in. Somebody
Dry
else want to say something? Okay.
Yeah, it's me, Brother Dry Bones.
Greetings,
okay.
Brother Dry Bones.
Greetings. Beautiful topic today. Brother Wesley was saying some things that I was listening to. I'm just going to say a quote, and then I'm going to get real quickly into it. W.E. Du Bois said this in the 30s. He said, if we keep believing both the Republican and the Democratic body, may God call us an ass for holding this to be a party which has done us nothing. Now, we have participated in it, but the only thing through our history, and I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be easy because if you look at history correctly, bloodshed is going to have to come, my brothers and sisters. You're not going to get a hallelujah ramification or evolution of being free without some bloodshed. I'm to that conclusion. We are so far gone right now. If we don't get ourselves together, they are going to systematically wipe us out because we are believing in fairy tales. First of all, there is no vote. You never had a vote. Anybody who tells me they had a vote, I'm going to just walk away. It's called the Electoral College, and most people don't even know what that is. These people know the president 3 to 4 years in advance because they have a country club that goes and seeks them out and pay for these people prior to you even knowing about them. You didn't even know nothing about Obama. He was sought out, put together, and placed amongst the elite Jewish banking elite, and they fed our people such a good piece of crap. We ate it first thing we seen. Don't know nothing about this man. And this is what they've been doing to all the presidents. You don't know not one president. Bill Clinton went on Arsenio Hall and played a saxophone, and we went crazy. We are the most duped people, and until we realize that you do not have any power at this moment, and come to your senses and say, you know, first you got to humble yourself and say, I don't have power, and I need to get it. I've been deceived. But we too busy thinking we know too much. And when people think they know too much, you are the most deceived people to be with because you think you know it all right now. You've been voting, and the votes ain't even went through. Like Sister Goni said, the die vote machines were controlled by the Bush family for the past two elections. Florida had two crazy elections in this state. We couldn't even count the votes the night of the presidency last year. So we have to look at none of this is real. We're in an illusion. Politics is made up. And I'm going to say one last quote, and I'm going to hand it over. Mao Zedong said, religion and politics is the opiate of the people. They feed us stuff, and we just digest it. And right now, we are high as hell and can't come off. We like junkies.
Wow. Now, that's deep right there. But let me bring Mr. Beasley in because I know he's been waiting patiently. Mr. Beasley, welcome to the show, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Greetings, Mr. Beasley.
I'm not going down and live in Mississippi, Alabama, or Florida. I'm just not doing it. That's some bullshit right there. You're going to go take over the South. When I hear people speak about black folks as some monolithic group, that we all think the same, and that we're some cohesive group, I wonder what world they live in. I agree with Sister Ngoni. The system is corrupt from its very core. I disagree with something that Sister Ngoni said when she says socialism It's the next stage to communism. Communism is a form of government, and socialism is an economic system. They're separate things. They're separate things. Does your vote count? I guess. The Electoral College applies only to presidential elections. Every other election, I guess, is decided by whoever gets the most votes. Does your one vote count? Maybe not when you have to when you have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and in presidential elections, millions of other votes. So maybe your one vote isn't that important. How, if you're that concerned, or if you feel like you can affect some change, you can remain steadfast and active and on the neck of the elected official. Are they going to give you some double talk and some bullshit? More than likely.
Well, Mr. Beasley, thank you for your feedback, and I don't want to argue a long argument about socialism versus communism, but what my point was in history, there's a progression. Rome was a republic also. There have been in many other so-called nations that start off as republics and then they morph into democracy. Yes, I know socialism has been used in other areas, and it hasn't been very well done because they always have an elite that control everything. But there's a progression when they get ready to take a nation down. It goes from a republic to a democracy. Then they apply socialist principles. As you can see, all the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are in play. So that's what they do when they take us to tyranny.
Hold on a second. Let me give you quick, simple definitions of communism. Communism is central control of the government. Everything is done centrally. Socialism is an equal division of the economic pie.
I know you're looking at it different than I am. But
no, I'm not looking at it different. I'm giving you these basic definitions.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
They're different things.
Yes, they have different times. Head dry bones.
And socialism does work. And it works quite well.
Tell me where.
It works quite well for the most part in countries like Sweden, in countries like Norway. It did work for quite some time throughout Europe. It's not working now because it's been manipulated. When I say it's been manipulated, the whole economy has been manipulated. This housing crisis is really the cause of all the economic problems you're seeing across the world. You see, when these mortgage-backed securities, were sold worldwide to banks, governments, institutions, and when they went bad, trillions of dollars were lost. That never came back.
But Mr. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. Go ahead.
So that's the root. That's the reason why, in a lot of these countries where their social democracy is failing. Socialism isn't necessarily a bad thing. If you ask me, it's better than 1% or 0.1% of the population controlling an inordinate amount of the wealth. I'm still not going down to Mississippi or Alabama.
Well, the question I'm trying to figure out is, does the vote count? And even if you are of a government that's socialism, it's still controlled by a hierarchy, an oligarchy. So really, unless you're into the loop, just like lobbyists, you can vote all day, but the lobbyists got more power than you, so your vote is
socialism,
never counts.
Socialism is an economic system. When you're talking
even
about
it is,
voting.
Still vote.
But it's still a political system, Mr. Beasley, and I want to address you on that issue.
It's not a political system.
I want to respond to you, please. You talked about the housing crisis around the world as the cause of this situation.
No,
but
I'm talking about the sale and the fail of mortgage-backed securities.
I understood you, and my response to you is that is a symptom because the cause was central planning, the Federal Reserve Central Bank.
There's a number of causes. That's one of them.
This just didn't happen. It was planned.
I'm not saying that it wasn't.
Well,
I agree
just,
with the
cause, and I'm just saying that was a, that's a, one of the symptoms of taking this economy down, because it's being purposely taken down. It's not a business cycle. This is not a business cycle. Well,
I'm
it
not,
is a larger.
I'm not. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's by design.
Right. So we agree on that point then.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But socialism, so, capitalism, so-called democracy, you know, they've been taking democracy to the world with bombs and bullets, okay? It's all used as a political ploy to shape societies to the, you know, to the way that the ruling elite want them to be, and they use different systems at different parts of the world at different times. But there's nothing new. If you look at history, they keep doing the same thing over again. They don't even bother to change the game plan. They don't have to, because we're usually sleeping. We can't see it.
Well,
we're not sleeping.
That gets back to the point you guys made. You know, your vote really isn't that valuable. It's not going to change that much. That the system is corrupt from its very core, and in order to affect some real change, some blood will probably have to be spilled.
I would think throughout history, that's the only thing. If we can go on history, which is the only thing we have to go on, I've never heard any people freeing themselves with peaceful demonstration or anything peaceful, because you cannot. They will slaughter you to pieces. Even Gandhi had an underground military. So I don't understand and how long we can keep going along with this. But when this thing collapsed, they're going to unleash white supremacists on us. And these white supremacists are prepared to the hill. They ain't allowing them to buy all these guns for nothing. And when they let them go loose on us, and our unorganized, always arguing behind cells, are not even close to coming together, we are going to be lambs to the slaughter. And I hope y'all listening clearly, because they are orchestrating the biggest race war in the history of the United States. You thought the First Civil War was something else, but this time we ain't going to have no weapons. The first time we had weapons, and we were too dumb to use them on them. So I want y'all to be clear with you, understand what you're saying. You are not voting for nobody. You have never voted for a single person. Now, I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. You never voted. Even if you went to the polls, you did not. Your vote never counted. Never counted.
Well, I got some news. I got some news for you that you probably agree with. And that is, white supremacy has never stopped, has never eased up. And the system already has collapsed. The economic system here in this country and worldwide has collapsed. It's just being kept afloat by them printing money, and the infrastructure, the economy is more sophisticated than it was in 1929, when there was another huge collapse. And they are pushing for a race war. As far as what's going to happen, I don't have a crystal ball, and nobody else does either.
As a good quote in the chat room, it says, "America as we know it has served its purpose, and manifest destiny is complete."
It's complete.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making that up. I've been looking at Europe. I've been looking at certain events that's happening, and they're going to use Obama as a fireball, because they're going to bring hatred that a black man can't rule. And once they get to this next phase in the next year or two, when they realize healthcare is a scam and they're going to be taxed to death, they are going to unleash on black folks, because they're going to use him as the reason why they got to get rid of us. Now, you can play like it ain't going to happen. I've been around a lot of white people, and I hear they talk. And this down in the South here in Florida and Georgia, and all of a sudden These crackers are ready. And we still playing games. We see, we got people believing that the Democratic Party likes us. I mean, I have had black folks tell me, I said, well, tell me why you want to be Democratic. They can't. They don't even know the Democrats were the slaves. We are totally uneducated about what's going on.
And that's so true. That is so true. You know, and that goes back to, like we were saying earlier, everybody think, you know, you go and vote. But the Electoral College is the one who actually goes ahead and says, okay, this is going to be the president no matter what. And the prime
only in a presidential election.
Well, yeah. You know, only, yeah, in the presidential election. But, don't you think something is wrong with that also? I mean, take a look at Bush and Gore or Kerry, whoever he was running against. Take a look at that.
I voted on that, so I know.
You know, that's crazy. You know, the popular vote was one thing, but the Electoral College says something different. That's not strange to you? And I mean, come on.
Different from what the people said.
Yeah, screw what the people said. Look, George Bush is going to be another term. That's the way we're going to make it, and who cares?
I voted on the butterfly ballot.
those are some of the things you have to worry about. Now, when you get to the lower level, you know, does your vote really count? Maybe.
No.
Once or twice. But then again,
no.
You know, how much weight does it really carry? You know, because once they're in office doing whatever, you know, you basically a forgot about person. That's my opinion.
I'm sorry. Mr. Talk, when you go back in history and you recognize the fact that when they announced the proclamation, is it the Emancipation Proclamation or Proclamation Emancipation? Yeah. Okay. Was not a law. It was just a public announcement. And what they did was they paid some of the slaveholders money and they transferred ownership from private ownership of slaves to public ownership, and the public masters now are the Congress. That's why they have to vote on our Voting Rights Act every 25 years. They just transferred ownership of us from private slave masters to the Congress.
Well,
and to go back on that, if I may just briefly, from that time of Reconstruction, they had allowed the South to come right back into the Union without any provocations and let them come right back into power on the backs of so-called black who was in. We had a whole bunch. That's why I know we got to be deceived. We had more elected officials during Reconstruction than we ever had in the history of America. And they systematically took every single one of them out. Every single one of them out. And they used every tactic that they can use, from coercion to just kill them outright. And we sat there and watched it. Now, I'll be honest with you, the only time we had a chance is when we had over 100,000 black troops on the Union side with weapons, and we had over 35,000 to 40,000 Confederate black troops, because it was black Confederates. And if these brothers could not get together and say, hey, let's turn around and shoot these suckers, that was the only time we ever had to have an insurrection like Haiti. But right now, we don't have that. And we are really in a situation that we have to covertly say, are we going to participate with this thing, or are we going to haul ass and get the hell out of what's going on? Many of these Americans have dual citizenship. Most of the Congress have dual citizenship, and they're telling you that we're going to leave this bad boy when it's necessary. So that shows you how much they love their so-called political system.
Wow.
We got the same old in office, been in office from the time we were children.
Same old people.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was a member of the in Fort Lauderdale of the Human Rights Board. Miriam Oliphant, you remember her? Supervisor of elections.
Yes, right.
She sent Chris Hood to the Human Rights Board with proof that those machines were going to do what happened. Well, when Chris Hood came, he asked Jeffrey Gorley, was it okay for him to come into the meeting? Now, there were people of all races in there, Spanish, black, you know, white, you know, everything was in there, about 50 people. And I was the only one in there that didn't even have a high school diploma. Anyway, after he showed, then everybody looked at the paperwork. It was like eight documents. They came to a conclusion that those voting machines needed to be replaced, put back, you know, the old machines put back, you know, in place. And Jeffrey Gordy was supposed to go to the media. But what ended up happening is Judge Stryker, Mayor Nagel, and some others, they had a breakfast at the Hilton Hotel for Jeffrey Gordy and gave him a plaque not to go to the media. And that's why what happened happened. And Teresa Lepore, she was the one who did the butterfly ballot. When we went to vote, you could not see anything on the presidential page. The reason I hit number two at the time was Gore, because I had been at the rally he had down in Miami 2 o'clock in the morning. Then I had to get back to Boca Raton to vote. And then when I got there, I couldn't see anything on the presidential page, nothing, all black. So what I did was by the ballot book that they send you at home, I voted by what that said, number two. So I punched number two. And number two turned out to be Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got me a protest sign, and I was walking behind Teresa Lepore telling her money talk and bull walk. Because I protested her. And this is what happened. And then I also was working for another organization as a poll watcher at a church. And they were the Haitians. They had this Haitian woman going, bringing Haitians that didn't even speak the language or nothing. They were in there voting for these people, for Jeb Bush. And then two ladies and a young boy came outside and told me, say, this was happening in there. And the woman keep going back and forth, bringing these people in there. And there was this
Her name Marion Bastille.
Woman. Yes.
Marion Bastille, that's who she was. I dealt with her.
Well, she wasn't at the church at the time. But there was this tall white guy. He was filming all of this. And so when the woman told him, and the two women told me what was happening, said they were speaking Creole, and they were voting for the people for Jeb Bush. So the woman that was going and bringing them there, when I turned around, I almost kissed the woman because she was standing right behind me. So I started watching for myself. Well, when I went to the organization to tell them what was happening, that's how I became a T.I. You know, all that stuff.
What's a T.I.?
Targeted individual.
Oh.
You know, because when I went back and I was telling what happened, the woman that was there with me, she was quiet. She wasn't saying a word. She already knew what was going down. Why didn't they tell me what they were up to? So I didn't have to make a fool of myself and become a T.I., you know?
Wow.
And, you know, and also, just to make it clear, I'm being brief as well, the local governments, you're dealing with a system called procurement, which means contracts for the city. It means that individuals, vendors, will subcontract out. Say you have a construction business. Well, if you get the right people in politics, they will always give you the contract. So you will always have these people who are winning these contracts, and you find out, wait a minute, the bid system says everybody should get it fairly. So even in the local level, the corruption starts right there during the procurement bidding process, because once a person gets elected, he is beholden to his constituents that gave him the most money. See, the game is already messed up because of money. So once, say, for instance, Ngoni gives me $50,000, she gonna come to me and say, you know, I got this business, I need you to look out for me. We don't have so many black politicians get cut out because they have been caught and they have taken them out of power because of that. We just had a lady, I can't think of her name, she was in the Haitian community, District 5, and because she didn't go along with the baseball stadium down here, they got her out of there on some crazy stuff, said she was bribing people and everything. So it starts even at the local level, because the local level means nothing. All it means is you gave the money for this person to get on, because you got to give money to get on the ballot. First of all, I hope people realize you just don't become a public person. You have to have $5,000 or $10,000 to get on the ballot. You do not just jump on a ballot. I hope y'all all know that.
Well, hold on. Let me bring. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to add to what Dry Bones said, and on top of that, as I've said before, from the municipal level, the county level, the city level, the township level, the state level, all the way up, it's all incorporated. They're all corporations, even on the local level.
Exactly.
That's true. Let me bring Mr. Allfax in.
Oh, God.
Get his point of view. All right, Mr. Allfax, welcome to the show.
Well, how you doing, everyone?
Greetings, people.
How you doing, Mr. Gowney?
I'm good.
I don't know if this
you?
Is greetings. I heard someone says, oh, my God, when they announced my name. I told y'all yesterday, y'all know who I am.
I love you. It was me that said that because I know you're getting ready to give it to us. Go ahead and give it to us.
Well, yes. I mean, it's so many topics you guys hit, but I'm going to try to stay focused, and I'm quite sure I can hit on some of your topics that we went on. Well, first, let me tackle the mathematics and the electoral college. Let's get this out of the way first. Oh, by the way, before I go into it, I just want to real quick give you, I did work the polls in 08, elected official. So I do have some type of background when it's dealing with the voting process, actually setting up the booths and, you know, actually checking ID and making sure people cast their votes and helping the elderly people and making sure they get to their voting booths. So I was a part of that process, even after the polls closed, getting the numbers together and then sending them to a certain district. I've been a part of that. But let's get the Electoral College out. I understand what you guys are saying. But go to the Electoral College's website, and they'll let you know that how the process works. It is rare for someone, regardless of political party, to go against the popular vote and don't give those numbers to the Electoral College to that candidate. See, this voting system, you have to talk about the state level and the federal level when you're talking about elections. Listen, all of this that we're talking about is concepts. Mankind has never sort of found the perfect way of us living peaceful. Look in ancient history and ancient times, all the books, all the wars. But the concept is that when you have this electoral college, is that this country is so vast, if you just go on popular vote, right, you would exclude some other states because, like Nebraska, South Dakota, Montana, all of the Midwest, they're not populated like Texas, California, New York, all on the eastern side. Almost 80% of the United States population lives on the coast. So you're not going to be campaigning in Nebraska. So you give each state a certain type of a value system. We're just talking about mathematics. They say everything mathematics. And as long as you say the people in that state, the candidate has the most votes in that state, gets a certain type of point. It's just like a game. So any mankind can set any type of system so we can be fair and balanced, because when you play a game, it's still supposed to be fair and balanced. That's the rules. You still have values of what you get. But how you play that game, if you lie on your campaigns, if you lie to people, you say you're going to promise them, that's something different. But the political process that you're talking about, now everything is checks and balances. That's what I don't hear people about this government. They saying the whole government is con. Everything in our government is checks and balances, because they even tried, listen, we tried to have a structure to try to put this down to science. That's why we have quasi-governments like the FBI. The Congress, the three branches of government, and your local government, yes, they are the government, but then we have quasi-governments that control the other government, because everything is about checks and balances. So when the Supreme Court had an election in Florida when George Bush, that was just a part of the checks and balances. So for you to say that my vote has never counted, I say no. I've seen those white teenagers and those young white people come and vote for Obama. I've seen it for my own eyes, sir. And when the poll said most young white people voted for Obama, that's a fact. I've seen it for my own eyes. And I was in a district not all with mostly black, mixed group of people, middle class, fixed people, sir. So I'm letting you know the problem is,
I got a question for you, Mike.
Ask me any questions y'all want.
Hold on. How do you know they voted for Obama unless you were behind the curtain with them, unless you were inside?
No.
The
room. Well, hold on. No. Hold on. Listen to me, sir.
You're speculating.
Listen to me.
That's not a fact.
Hold on. Listen to me, sir.
I know. I don't want to get loud.
You said, did I see a paper trail? Okay, no, hold on.
Did you see a paper trail? Did you see a paper trail?
As far as what, when we kept, at my district, we sent it to another district, sir, and they tied it up. Now, hold up.
You're not
yes, I did see a paper trail. Yes, I did. Yes, yes. Let me answer your question. Yes, I did see a paper trail, sir. No, I did not. Sir, you're sitting here disrespecting. Won't you listen to some? Yes, I did. Listen to me. The paper trail that I've seen is because, sir, I don't know who you deal with, but when you deal with computers and certain things, you still have to deal with the manual. The manual was the people that cast their votes, their names, and the number of people that would register Democrats, independents of public, and it had to add up to those computers, sir. And we had to count those paperwork, had to add up with a computer. If the paperwork did not add up with a computer, it wasn't going to go nowhere. We were going to be there all night, sir. You don't know about the fucking process. And I'm letting you know that was the paper trail.
Hold on.
When we sent those numbers up, when we sent those numbers up, listen, when we sent those numbers up for that community that came in there, you're saying when we sent those factual numbers up, the paperwork, the add up with computers, that someone mixed those numbers and changed those numbers and we didn't do it. I said, hold up. You don't have no proof of that, sir. You don't have no proof of that, sir.
Mike. And the ballot is supposed to be secret. They have a curfew.
That's not a big deal. That's not a big deal.
Excuse me?
Everybody talk over each other.
She said that when the computer, and I'm talking about a computer, everybody in the digital world knows you can program computers. I work with computers. I can make another vote go to somebody else so easily. So you are just not being factual about that. You're saying something because you might have worked there, but you have no clue. The person who created the paper trail, guess what happened to him? He was killed.
He
was
Mike Carno.
From Tennessee. He was killed, my brother. I do some research on that.
Yep.
That's
Mike
all I got
Carno.
To say. That's all I got to say.
Well, first of all, you'd have no factual information of it. If you know his murderer, won't you go and turn him in, sir? You don't have no factual information. You just said he was killed.
Right.
Many
you,
people
okay,
get
all
okay,
okay
right. So right there, okay. So there's your conspiracy theorist. But let me tell you one thing, sir. Like I said,
okay.
Didn't I say that we had to verify the paperwork to sign? People, when you go vote, people sign their names. They register who party you are, whether you're unaffiliated, independent, like I am. We're talking about the general election so anybody can vote, right? And I'm letting you know that the paperwork had to match up with the shit is on the screen. Now, listen, I'm going to say this. You talking about is a big fraud, but listen, if the Republicans supposedly trying to stop people to vote and people want to talk about they don't want us to vote, if the voting system is rigged, why would they ever try to stop people from voting? Why would the Black Caucus and all of them says, listen, they trying to stop, why would we want to fight? Listen, we have the right to vote. The right to vote means this. I don't have to vote for nobody, but I have the right to. Right means I can do it or I don't have to do it. You don't have to force me. But for you to say it's rigged, so if it's rigged, sir, tell me how. Because according to the numbers, listen, it's 0.8% of voting fraud. That's the facts because they use those numbers to go against the Republicans and the Tea Party for these IDs, sir. That's a fact. I don't know what you're talking about. You going on a conspiracy theory, and you're mixing facts with theory. You don't even know how that man died. So, look, that man had passed away, but do you know the circumstance and the fact how
away.
You died?
Go to the police then, sir.
Wait a minute. All facts, you didn't ask him about three questions, but you don't give nobody a chance to answer any of them.
That's okay. That's called defensive person.
I want to hear the answers. So I can try to figure out the truth.
From him?
All right.
Because all I know is...
No,
the man
I'm going to wait just whoever has the best information, but I'm trying to figure it out.
All I'm going to say is I'm going to let somebody else talk because, this is what this is all about. All I'm saying is if you say you believe that this was legit, then you are patriotic. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. They may go on Maze into the house. Maze.
If you don't, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Whatever. Maze, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi, Maze.
Hello.
Hello. I have a quote for today. Man over matter, and if you don't matter.
I heard somebody say that
him.
Before.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm quoting. It's man over matter.
If you don't,
don't
mind,
man,
it don't matter.
You don't matter. That's how it goes. So what's the moral of this story about if you think your vote counted? People think their vote counted, that the person that they voted for won. Yes, they do think so. Have you ever been in a ballot box where you see them counting votes?
I haven't.
After they go from the precincts to where they sit and they count them. Have
Mike
you ever
says
followed
he ha- Mike says he has.
Have you ever followed your ballot to where they took it to? Because a lot of them got dumped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
that happened.
A time because you're a poll watcher. But has anybody ever went and watched people ballot being counted?
They don't count the ballots. It's done
oh, yes,
electronically.
No, no, not them. The write-ins, they don't do electronically. They sit and they count them.
Oh, well, you're right. The write-ins and the absentee ballots. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I guess they sit and count those.
So that's how they keep
I haven't
people
seen,
counting
I haven't seen
many
of
them. If they get in time.
Right.
Because there's a lot of places that you don't, you can go vote and you know you're voting, but you still know the person's going to win. That's how you get some of your mayors you got and some of your governors that you got.
They know
Hickory at the ballot box. What do you say?
I said they know long before the vote who's going to win.
No, they groom them, the people that they want to win. And the people in the little towns and places, they just go in and vote.
I've been in office for all my life.
So that's how I see it. But what's the moral of this story? If you think your vote counts, if it don't, if it's come back.
Fire them.
Because a lot of some people have been in jail messing with the ballot box.
Okay. And where you going with that, Maze?
I'm finished with it for right now.
Okay.
Mr. Talk?
Yes.
Of an investigative
yes.
reporter named Greg Palast works for the
uh-huh.
BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Greg.
All right.
What the heck
driving?
Is that noise?
Meaning the voting fraud in this country for quite a few years. Got a lot of videos up on YouTube where he's reporting on how they defrauded the people even in the military that were overseas of their vote and how they actually took people that were dead and they put prisoners. And I mean, all kind of stuff to stack up the deck. Greg Palast.
I think he wrote a book. I think I saw him on C-SPAN. Yeah, he talked about Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he talked mm-hmm. about Florida and how they rigged it in Florida.
Yeah.
And there was also a IT engineer that testified in front of Congress about those black box voting machines, how he was asked to put a back door in them so they can throw the vote either way they want to go. He testified
mm-hmm.
in front of Congress. That video is also up on YouTube.
Whose vote was he talking about? At what time? What election was he discussing?
No, he was talking
was
about
it,
the machines to count the votes.
He was talking about the. He was talking about. I think first off, he was talking about the 2000 election, and he was
mm-hmm.
focusing on Florida, but
yeah.
he might have written other things. I saw the guy on C-SPAN.
Because
mm-hmm.
the Supreme Court was.
He made a pretty strong case too.
The Supreme Court determined that Bush won or not. It wasn't the people.
You know they had
that five to four vote that they had.
That's what happened.
That's who did that. So nobody vote counted then. Except the Supreme
Court. They had these people coming into Florida, and we had to go sign. You know, what you call it? God, I just lost my chain of thought. But nothing ever come of that. You know, where we had to go and sign and say why we voted punch number two for Gore. And our votes, all those votes that went to Buchanan, well, nobody ever said anything about that, how they had us going all the way up to Palm Beach and having our notarized. They had our signatures notarized, all the people who voted for number two. Nothing
and then
was,
the
nothing.
Chads and all, hanging chads and all that stuff. And then
yeah.
some people got caught, and some people went to jail.
Well,
that's why I say some
that.
People go to jail for messing with, because it's against the law to do that. If you know somebody, you turn them in. They're going to be investigated.
I keep hearing they. Who are the they that's doing all this? Who's the they that's allowing all this to happen?
That's what I'm on.
Excuse me?
The politicians, I suppose.
That's right.
Trying to stay in their seat so they won't get removed.
And the cronies. you know.
And the gerrymandering, and the people that gerrymander the districts to make sure that you can't vote for who you want to, because you got too many of the same people that are going to vote for who they want and not who they want, and they gerrymander and they move people around in the district that they don't even want to be in.
Well,
so whoever's doing that, that's who's doing it.
I reserve the right to say it this way, and people can feel they can appreciate it or not. If you never participate, then you didn't win or lose anything.
Because some people don't participate. Because they don't,
exactly.
It don't matter.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, the question
I know I haven't been the most regular voter.
What would it matter if the politician that you voted for got in, and all of a sudden, all the promises he or she made, they never stuck hold to not one of them. So it
it's
didn't
like,
matter either way.
What if you went in voting, and you know when you said somebody promised, you weren't looking for a promise in the first place, and you wouldn't vote because you had the right to and you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, that's how it happened.
You made a
they
good point.
They wasn't voting on a promise.
You made a good point, and you made the light go off in my head. I've been far more concerned during my life of trying to have my own household economy and not even worrying about the political bullshit.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's bullshit.
Mr. Beasley, do you think we should have a plebiscite?
What's a plebiscite?
It's where a group of people get to take a vote. I mean, after all, when they came up with the Constitution, which is a trust document or a contract, you know, we weren't at the table. We didn't have any input in that. So our ancestors and those of
us
were here that were.
Folk?
Huh?
You mean us as black folk?
Hey, you know what? Nobody's doing this much moving around or whatever unless it's on purpose.
I don't know who that is, and I can't do anything
it's
about
me.
It. Switchboard, and Mr. Talk is away at the moment. But
what question are you asking me again?
If you think we should have a plebiscite, since we didn't have any input into the Constitution, which is a trust document, it's basically a contract. It's a constitutor writes a constitution to pass on a debt from one body of people to another. That's what a constitution is. So why should – so, I mean, we never had a choice. So we keep talking about, you know, this vote and this voter fraud and this and that and the other, but we never were really a part of the system. We were almost – I mean, just – how do you say, like you stamp a cow, what do you call that, when you put a brand on a cow?
Random.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Basically,
like,
so a plebiscite is your free will choice.
We're all part of the system now. Not to be a part of this system, that's your choice as well, and I guess you could take steps towards that, but we're
you don't
all
think
pretty...
we have a plebiscite as a whole. You don't think you don't see any value in that.
You're going to get a bunch of black folks together to do what? To make their own
constitution? No, I'm just asking you your opinion. I mean, I know you're not organizing that.
I really don't know what a plebiscite means, and I'm not.
It's a vote. It just means you have a free. You have a body of people that all get to make their choice about whether they want to be a part of this system or not.
I don't think it's a good idea. I'm going to tell you why. Because even if you go on what Beasley is saying, he keeps saying black people this and that, black people want to be with white people too much. They want to do what white people do too much.
Man, you know what? That's not easy. You want to know what it is? Black people are on all levels of the socioeconomic ladder, okay?
Really?
So black folks that have a stake, that own property and have businesses and are benefiting from this society are going to feel different than black folks at the bottom that don't
You're
have
absolutely
a stake.
Right.
That's
You're
the point
right.
of having a plebiscite, so everybody can have their free will choice. I'm not saying everybody should vote
the same.
The
point that I'm making is this. So when we speak of ourselves collectively as a group of black people and we ignore what our economic status is, you're really ignoring what's most important.
Whoever that is, please stop doing
exactly
that.
Who's
Mute
doing
yourself
I know exactly
out,
who's
please.
Doing. I know exactly.
That's not me.
That's all I'm saying.
But Mr. Beast, I hear you and you're absolutely right. But see, if you have a plebiscite, then everybody has a free will choice, but everybody doesn't have to vote the same. I don't have any illusions that we're all going to be of one mind.
What are we going to vote on, though? What are we going to decide?
No.
What everyone else should do? Everyone can do what they want to do. When you
when you
wanted to go live in Africa, you went
to America.
Yeah, but when Sister Ngoni wanted to go live in Africa, she went and lived in Africa.
No, but I had to have a U.S. passport. Wait, Mr. Beasley, I had to have a U.S. passport, okay?
You're a U.S. citizen.
No, I'm not.
Right.
Go ahead.
Right, I'm letting you know there's certain rights. Mr. Drybones talk about dual citizen. There's a reason why people don't want to give the United States. They talk bad about the United States, and most countries can't get on an internet airwave and talk bad about their country. And Iran, if we was over there, citizens and daughter, man, they'd probably hang us by now. But I just want to say something. Listen, this is the trump card of all your voting. There is nobody in this world. It's only going to take 10. There's nobody in this world from stopping the people from petitioning any laws that's governing these books of the United States of America. You have the power to challenge and get something on the ballot in your community. Some people just only need 50,000 signatures. Now they can do it on the internet. We can change any law you want, so that trumps everything, because guess what? No matter what government you have, you're going to have to try to get a consensus of the people, and it's going to have to come to a vote.
Let me tell you something. Not long ago, they had all these white people all over the United States camping out in front of the courthouse and this and that, and whatever you want to call it. Oh, well, we're going against the 1%, all of this and that. They wind up getting their asses whooped.
And guess what? They wanted it wrong. Okay, listen, what they could have done, they could have took all of those people.
We can hear what he's saying.
What do you think they're going to do to you? You're going to get killed. They're going to demonstrate you with cuffs on in front of the camera, and they ain't going to say nothing about it. I don't know where you come. Well, I don't know who you've been dealing with or what you've been doing.
I'm going to crush them.
You ain't going to crush me, because this show don't make or break me.
I'm
going to
show you facts.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
Watch, I'm going to talk
me
to the people that you don't like and prove my point. Watch this. It only going to take me 30 seconds.
The people
that you don't like, gays, right? Watch. In California, my state and the state of Maryland, all the people that didn't like gays, they went and got their petitions. They got their signatures to change the laws that the senators has passed in the bill. And what I'm telling you, they put the law that was written up to vote, and the people's voted on it. So don't tell me that people don't have power. The problem is people want to pick and choose what they fucking want to change. They didn't like someone having sex a certain way. They want to rally up to that. So I'm saying those 1%ers could have been political, got petitions, and changed some of their laws. Get smart and change some of their laws that is affecting them on their books. Bring it up to vote. And you can do it every time. No one is stopping you.
You going to tell me that me being who I am or whatever the case may be, I can go there with a few other people and say, hey.
What I'm saying with technology now, you don't have to go
to
door-to-door to get signatures now. You can have a website and get petitions on sign-on website. You don't have to go door-to-door and get signatures no more.
It's
technology,
bro. I didn't cut your smart ass out when you were talking.
Well, we only need 50,000 signatures in Maryland.
You keep on talking about 50,000 signatures. Let me tell you something. Those politicians going to look at who their constituents are the most. Okay, well, you know, we have a small gay community here, but my constituents are the people that's actually putting me in office. So you know what? To hell with these gay people. That's what's going to happen. You think them people give a damn about any of that? You think they give a damn about any of this false-ass democracy and the republic and all that? They don't care nothing about that, man. They care about who's going to put them back in office.
Okay, I ask Antoinette if she would do me a favor, please, and put the link in the chat room for the video called Season of Treason. For anyone who really wants to understand how the system is set up and how deceptive it is, that's a very good documentary to watch, to understand.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, Ms. Mays.
Has anybody ever since watched the Congress in session?
Yes, I used to be a C-SPAN junkie myself.
So I sit and I watch the Congress and Senate, and they don't even get to vote. The committees vote. That's why it never comes to the floor. That's why you don't see anything done. So if you can't get your congressman to go up there that you voted for to vote for you, because you don't have a chance because because committees are voting and not them, what's wrong with that picture?
That's a good point, Ms. Mays. And also, somebody said earlier,
nobody
I think
say
it was,
nothing about. Oh.
Sorry, go ahead. I didn't know you weren't finished, Ms. Mays.
Nobody say nothing about them, but they keep sending them over and over again until they get as old as John McCain and all them old
right.
other old farts up there. And they
Charles
keep sending
Rangel.
Them over and over again. Charlie Rangel and all of them. They should have been
right.
sent home a long time ago.
Right.
They
home to die
the
out like Kennedy. Like Kennedy.
They don't
they
get
die
the vote.
But see,
right.
the people don't realize that the Congress
the
don't work for us. That's the bottom line. They actually have to give up their national identity in order to take those seats in Congress. They have to take an oath to the United States. And people say, well, the United States of America or America, there's no such thing. It's the United States Corporation, and that's who they work for. They don't work for us. They put on a show to get their votes to make the people think they work for us, but they really don't. So one day a year when there's a vote, you think you're participating, but the rest of the time they're working for themselves. They don't work for us.
Well, one thing that happens from, I know at least when I was growing up, one thing that happens from elementary school is they start to brainwash you with that foolishness of reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every day. You know, when they get you when you're a child and you
they indoctrinate you.
Going through civics, yeah, they indoctrinate you going through civics class and they giving you, oh, our three branches of government, and we couldn't work without this and that functioning or whatever. They indoctrinate you, and when you become an adult and you get so tied into this stuff and you have your own living, then you'll have to choose between doing what you feel might be right for you or doing what you feel might be right for the whole. 9 times out of 10, people only going to think about themselves.
That's right, Brother Lowell.
That's
right. Sorry, I don't know who's making that noise, but I want to thank Sister Antoinette for putting that link in the chat room. And I urge everyone, please take a look at that video because he lays it all out.
Well, see, one thing that you can't deny is what I said about the petition. Now, let me correct something. See, a petition is a people can bring something up new, like these marijuana laws in Colorado. The citizens in Washington, they bung it up a petition, they win. They change the marijuana laws. And sometimes a petition, like I say again, if the politicians pass something in office that you don't like, you can change that law by a petition. I tell people in my community, the people have the power. There's no leaders in politics. You should never look at a politician as a leader. They're supposed to be a representative and a spokesperson of the consensus of that vote. And anytime they vote on a bill, they should have a hearing or let the public know what they're voting about so they can get to voice their opinion. Now, you listen. Listen, people email their senators about Obama's health care. They're talking about constituents. Now the Democratic senators are getting, or congressmen are getting pressures from their constituency. When Obama tried to strike Syria, everyone says their constituents, which are the voters, that's another simile as a voter, is calling them and emailing them, 30,000 here, 50,000 there, saying don't do it. So I'm letting you know you can put pressure on them in some type of way. I'm letting you know that now. If you don't think that, Mike, what type of government are you going to set up? Because it's going to have to be some type of
Michael. Excuse me, Michael, would you do me a favor, please? Would you promise me to watch that documentary? Would you please? Please.
I will watch the documentary, but what I said about the political process, listen, I can open up my 2 hours.
Okay, wait a minute.
Oh, hallelujah, Mr. Talk is back.
Too much.
Somebody.
All right, too much. God dang. All right, Antoinette, you got something you want to say, darling?
Yes, I do. I want to address all facts, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All facts, you say going on petitions and things and you need 50,000 signatures. How about in your area you get 50,000 signatures that we don't pay taxes anymore?
Okay. Well, first of all, that I would never get nothing like that, because I know since ancient time, collectively, we're going to have to come together, and it's going to have to be some type of tech. So that's not philosophy. But hypothetically speaking, if I would get those 55,000 signatures, we'll put it up on the ballot, and all of the state of Maryland will have a chance to vote yes or no, right, whether we want to stop paying state American taxes again.
I agree with what you're saying.
Can stop that from being on the ballot for someone voting. That's a fact.
Let me say something. I agree with what you're saying. You can change some relatively minor things like marijuana laws and some of the other law, some of the other minor laws. But I think what Antoinette is saying and the larger point that she's making is that you can't structurally change the system. You won't be able to take money out of politics.
Hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
You go there and you put your name on a certain petition, and they'll have the IRS crawling
Mike. If you do a revolution, what are you going to do?
Mike.
If you're on Blog Talk Radio, you think they spying on you? What
are you the only one talking, man? Damn.
Calm down, Mike. Take a deep breath.
I'm very calm.
No, but when you raise your voice, it makes other people raise their voice.
Oh, you can. I mean, right.
Raise our voice, and then it doesn't work.
You do it all the time,
Don't make it point, business. I do it, and I'm not saying,
exactly.
I do it, and that's why I'm trying not to do it. But you can't, what Antoinette's saying, what I think she's saying, or what I hear her saying, is that you can't petition and structurally change the way things are done. And the way things are done that makes our vote or makes us as a people impotent in this system is that there's huge money that's in the political system. And we can't, and even as a collective group of people, we can't legislate that out.
Okay, but before the money tries to control the minds. But in actuality, no matter if Romney is who can control Michael from looking at another man's concepts or another woman's concepts and forget the money, who can me? I can. No one on this phone can really be controlled. Who controls anybody on this phone?
A lot of people.
I'm not controlled.
Let me answer that question. As independent as I am and as quick as I am to tell somebody to go F themselves, but if you start threatening things that are really dear to me, that are dependent on my survival, like my dwelling, my home where I live, and some of the things that I get around and the basics that I need to sustain myself.
Okay, where you going? Now you're being like me. You're throwing it off and you're going to another subject.
No, I'm not throwing it off. I'm agreeing with what Joe said, that it comes to a point where there's someone that has leverage over us.
What do you mean? And who allows that to have leverage over you? You
right,
do.
Lowe said it about 10 minutes ago. When we're growing up, we are indoctrinated by the public school system and the private school system. So when we're very, very impressionable as kids, we get these ideas and print them into our brains.
Okay.
It takes an adult to try to break yourself away from that, but most adults don't. So consequently, a lot of us, even those who are supposedly enlightened, are still controlled in some vestigial way from what we were as kids.
Okay, but I'm trying to stay with the topic about voting. And I'm letting you know, when it comes to the –
you are your own leader at the end of the day.
Yes, I did. He's talking about someone is our prime is indoctrinating us to think a certain way, a Democrat. Basically, he's talking about a Democrat or a certain type of philosophy.
Let me say this for about 30 seconds. I want to take a page from your book, all right, Mike? Let me just say this for 30 seconds.
Oh,
is that don't make me laugh, please.
God doesn't like when you do that, love, when you mock me. You know that.
You know, okay, here's the thing. Take a look at the polls where everybody in America, I think it's down to like 6% or 9%. The approval or rather the disapproval rating of Congress is at a super low. But what do people do? They still vote the same bastards in. Is that not mind control? If they disapprove of these people more than pig vomit and they're still voting them in, doesn't that suggest that somehow these people are under some sort of mind control?
Absolutely. Give him a hand clap for that. Give him a clap.
Well, they're
for
not
that.
Under mind control. They're under what the control that they can get from their representative that's putting stuff in the city that they live in, doesn't have a job. They ain't under no mind control.
They're being influenced by their politicians because of the handouts, right? I'm not talking about welfare, but because of the freebies. And these people aren't taking the time to really realize that they're being victims, even though they supposedly have done research. That's kind of a mind control affecting their intelligence, isn't it?
It's behavior control. It's some kind of control.
Did Mays go somewhere?
Look at the people that go to mass.
I'm listening.
Oh, okay.
Look at the people that go to mass at the Catholic Church after Catholic churches all over the world were found out to be molesting children.
Don't the libertarians control your mind?
I'm sorry.
You label yourself, so that means someone you listen to someone, just like Negroni was talking about original thought. You don't have original thought in your campaign. See, I'm an unaffiliated opinion. I have no biases. That's what I try to do. I try to look at things objectively. I don't label myself. So when you label yourself.
Listen,
I'm a voter, yes, it is a contradiction, but that says that I'm not affiliated with no group.
And your point, Mike, is?
Good point. Good question.
No, Joe, you call yourself a libertarian, and you're brainwashed just like the Democrats.
I'm brainwashed to a certain degree. You're right, and I'm trying to break myself.
Right, so you're no different. Right. So we're all brainwashed, exactly. So at the end of the day, we have to come to
what we're saying. You're saying we're not.
At the end of the day, what he's trying to say, he's not trying to push no group on nobody. He's just a person that goes out.
Exactly. I'm expressing my opinions, right, and looking at things objectively.
A libertarian,
that's me personally.
Republican to push you toward voting for them. He's just
because
know how he thinks when he votes.
But see, the mind control is labeling yourself a party because if two people of the same party go against each other, what they stand for is lessened. Like I said, it's like the Miami Heat going against the Miami Heat. They don't make no sense. That's why I laughed at all of them. It's total chaos. So to me, there's no such thing as a Democrat or Republican. It's all a fucking big game. They won't label me like that. So that's how I'm not brainwashed.
Mike, if you only knew how brainwashed
control people's vote.
If you're voting for any of it, you already brainwashed, thinking you're making a difference. When those
now this is the thing, though, Lo.
Hold on.
This is the thing.
What I'm saying is, let's say you have a city with 100,000 people. And it's election day. You only have 1,200 people to come and vote. There'll be a problem with that.
There'll be a problem with that.
And you're going to have news media and everything. I don't care where it's at. Why didn't anybody vote? What happened? Was it the systems or what happened? And you go to some people's homes and they say, hey, you know what? The system is corrupt. I didn't feel compelled to vote because my vote wasn't going to matter anyway.
Let
him finish, Mike.
I'm done, man.
Okay, good. Please
let
me respond. Right, and listen, you know why? Because what that dry bones was saying and all of y'all was saying earlier, because they had the same concept. So if you had that concept that if it don't vote, I ain't going to vote anyway, they're not going to be political. But I say, hold. It does vote. I say, get in these polls. I say, hold up. Or look at all the inner city people. If you look at Ohio, they go on congressional district. Obama would have lost. Most of the congressional districts went to Romney, if you look at it. But the popular vote, the inner city, Cincinnati, all the black people in the big city that came out, vote, that's what got Obama over.
Didn't
you
hear me?
That's a fact.
Mike,
so what
Mike,
I'm
Mike.
Saying is,
go.
Didn't
you hear Mr. Talk
explain
to you that the popular vote does not elect presidents? It's the electoral vote. That decides.
No, Nagoni, you just cutting me off, and I just
was
good. But the electoral college value. Hold up, the
I'm done.
I talk about this on my show. Fuck.
Of course you will.
I want to ask. Is for president the only place you have to go? You got the PTA board, you have to go vote, and you put people there that don't do the job they need to do. Then you got the council people, you got them sitting up there, you got people friends with them getting their perks until some of them might go to jail because, and then you drop them and go get the next person until they put something over their head. So what votes are you talking about? All the votes that we do in America that don't work?
City government in California is the most corrupt of all.
Yeah.
And have you ever heard the saying that to vote for the left? Evil, she's still voting for evil.
Well, the lesser two evils, that came out of somebody's mouth. I didn't even comprehend that. It's just like something somebody was saying, the lesser two evils. Why are you going to come up with the lesser two evils?
You
vote for two people.
Well,
that's the way I saw it.
What do you mean?
Opinion.
What do you mean, Ms. Mays?
A lesser of two evils.
Elaborate on that. What about it?
And then you hear about, you're voting for the lesser two evil. What do you mean you're voting for the lesser two evil? If you don't think they're evil, neither one of them couldn't have been evil to you, but it wasn't the person that you wanted to vote for.
So neither one of them could be
evil. Then who had to make them evil? Why it couldn't be two evil? The lesser two evil, why it couldn't be two good people?
Okay, if you're compelled to say, if you're compelled to say, hey, I didn't let the media bring that to me.
You asked
a question, don't answer it. If you're compelled to say, hey, you ask a question, don't answer, or don't ask a rhetorical question.
And if you don't vote, what is concern to you anyway? That's what I'd like to know. If you don't vote, why are you complaining?
I'm calling on this show doing the same thing.
I'm saying people that don't vote, they don't have a seat in the state anyway. Just like I say, man over matter. I don't matter.
No.
You don't matter. Just as
no, man,
you're
correct. Because you see, people that choose not to vote because they understand how the system is corrupt, they choose not to participate in the corrupt system. They choose not to live an illusion. They still have a right to express their views about how the system is wrong.
Good point.
They have their right to do that, but do they have to stress their views, but they didn't vote in on the views that they're stressing their views on?
You know what?
Hold on. And you know what?
What needs to be done. Nobody needs to vote just to see just how much power you really have. Don't nobody vote.
I agree.
And see what happens.
I guarantee somebody
will still be up there in the office.
By default, if you don't vote, the incumbent is going to be named there.
Yeah. So once again, you can't win. You're not going to win this battle. What happened? I mean,
hello.
That's the bottom line. You just formed a political inaction committee.
But at the same time,
if you're not voting, you are not participating in the system. You're not. You can't claim that I put this asshole in there.
That's right. And so why are you complaining about it? And if you didn't vote at all,
well,
with the whole
because
situation,
complaining,
Maine,
it's a matter of discussing the issues.
What you say?
Right.
I said it's not a matter of complaining. It's a matter of discussing the issues.
Well, is it discussing the issues of people that voted?
Let's get back
to
the lesser of two evils. Let me explain it to you, Mays. Okay, when you have a Democrat or a Republican, they both suck. So those people who are primetime Democrats and those who are primetime Republicans who don't want to take a look at the views of the other party, even though the parties have practically the same views, no matter who they elect, that's the devil, okay? So
really?
I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. They're still putting in the evil, thinking that somehow they're making some sort of rational change, and they're not.
So did you explain it? You explain something to me? You think so?
Okay. What do you want me to explain to you?
Nothing. No.
I think you did a very excellent job of explaining the lesser of two evils, and I want to thank
you. What it all boils down to is, hey, to me and to a whole heck of a lot of other people, Obama is garbage.
for the people that voted for. Absolutely. And you know, hey, there's a hell of a lot of people.
Ain't nobody getting mad.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait. I'm not tired of Joe Hipster. He's supposed to get mad about it.
I ain't getting mad. I said that's your prerogative.
Exactly.
Who's upset?
You don't have to raise your voice. Raising your voice means
I'm not raising my
upset.
Voice. It's just like I said, man over matter. You don't mad?
Uh-huh.
He did
absolutely.
Say that.
He did say that
to provoke her, though.
Yeah, but I don't care about those people. You can say
Obama
what you want to say about the president, low, whatever you want to say. That's you. I'm not trying to stop you saying it. Help yourself.
Oh, boy.
That don't mean
pardon
I'm going to say it because you're saying it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You
want to
know something?
I know who you are.
I know. I agree Obama is garbage, but he's probably less garbage than Romney would be.
Let's
and I'll tell you another thing. Everybody here knows I don't think of Obama as anything but shit, but McCain would have been fucking worse.
I take, you know what?
Well, he's not even a good liar.
I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell
Obama
you why I don't
liar.
Agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why I don't agree. I don't agree because you have so many people that think so highly of President Obama regardless of what he does. I mean, with John McCain.
Why are you getting mad with those people?
That.
No, but the thing is, I don't think anybody here will dispute the fact
why
that McCain
always,
was elected.
Hold up, Joe. Why do you always have to defend that man like he's your husband or something?
Because I want to, and I have the right to defend whoever I want. I'm not
in control.
Every last one of you niggas out of control.
Somebody said the word, Mr. Talk. Somebody said the word, magic word, Mr. Talk. Where are you?
I know.
Like Vern,
I'm trying to find them. I'm trying to find them. But they lucky.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
I found them. Don't worry. They're going to speak up again. Anyway, Maze and Lois are in the green room. So continue on with the conversation.
All right. Let me go ahead. In terms of McCain, Lovett said he probably wouldn't have been worse, but I think he would have because bomb Iran. I think we would have been in World War III by now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anything could be worse than that.
Can I interject? Isn't it all a script anyway, regardless who's in place? I mean, it's nothing that either one of them are doing that's exceptional. They're following a script laid down by their backers. This is nothing that is, oh, Obama's this great person. Obama's put in the follow script. I don't know. And some like this sister has blind patriotism, which is very dangerous.
Yes, it doesn't matter how many people he kills with drones. It doesn't matter how many lies he tells. She defends him.
Well, some people feel an allegiance to him like that.
Well, she's taken away by the historical fact the first time a black guy got elected.
People feel an allegiance to that.
Yep.
That tickled me. That touched me for a moment until I saw the people that he put in his first cabinet.
That's it.
Until I saw him continue the Patriot Act.
Yep.
Until I saw him line up his first administration with Wall Street over Wall Street over Wall Street over Wall Street.
And then he brought in Bill Clinton's old crew that created the mess with the economy in the first place.
Clinton and Bush, he brought in the advisors from both those administrations.
Yeah, so,
mm-hmm.
you know,
Barry Summers and, you know, what was
it,
little?
It didn't take.
I'm trying
to
be nice.
It didn't
pardon
take
me.
Three
I'm trying
weeks
to be real
to
nice.
See he would be more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be
well,
nice.
But Dry Bones is right.
It's amazing. It's amazing that there's so much divisiveness, if that's a word, or that there's so much separation that people are polarized so much when he's really just continuing many of the policies that were introduced by Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody ought to know he don't run nothing. Neither did the rest of them that went there. When that red phone rings in the Oval Office, they do what they're told if they want to keep living.
Pardon me. If I may, please.
Who is this?
Please.
Who is
this? I'm a new caller. I've just been announced to call this program, and I'm telling you, it has been a while since I stepped outside my arena. But I can say this, that I don't know neither one of you, but what I hear is one-fifth of the population discussing something, while the 99% of the people around the world who says that Uncle Sam is the craziest uncle on the planet My name is Mandela Khan, and I'm the national and international director of the Pan-African Intelligence Network. I want anybody who's been arguing with each other to answer me this question. Before slavery, did the indigenous and African people pray,
vote, shoot, or go to school their way
into slavery? I'm going to ask you again, anybody who jumped in, and then the question again. Did the indigenous and African people before slavery, did they pray, go to school, vote, or shot their way into slavery? And if you answer honestly, you'll see that they did none of those things. Now, here's where I'm very, very intrigued.
Hold on, time out. No, the Moors helped in a slave game, so don't go there.
Wait a minute, hold on, say that again.
The Moors were the most instrumental group of Africans and Arabs on the planet.
I asked you one question. That was, did the Moors or the Africans or the Indians, did they shoot their way into slavery? Did they pray or did they vote? Did they go to school their way into their lands being possessed?
No, they did not.
They sent their way into slavery. They sinned.
No. See, now y'all going to go with that good Pope stuff. First of all, let me take
it to y'all. What are you talking about, man? You're talking foolish. First.
She knows
you
were in the conversation. You didn't hear what
a man
was saying.
I
listened to him while he was talking.
It's foolish.
And
didn't you and Mays have a nice time in the green room?
Yes, I can't hear him.
Sometimes it's not for people to have a conversation.
Let's just say this to you, because I'm a ninth grade student by social standards.
Give the man the floor. Let's hear what he's got to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm a ninth grade student by social standards, but there's no social, religious, or political scholar that dare say I speak untruth as it relates to the whole truth. Now, I'm going to mention one thing, and you're going to say, well, damn, he's speaking out the east end of a horse's ass. You may say so, but
maybe
this is
not.
Known.
We hear all kind of shit around here.
Let me tell you this. This battle is between Vaskar, V-I-S-C-A-R, the Pope of Rome, and Mandela Khan, the connector, the Pope of Mother Africa. This is who this battle is on earth. Now, having said that, I said that we didn't do none of these administrative procedures that y'all are discussing to get ourselves in this trouble, and there's one way out of it. We are the same people we was in the genesis of this relationship as it is in the Revelation Untold. And the common denominator is the common law court. The common law court is the supreme law of this land, and anyone who sits in any office must respect the Constitution, the sovereignty and integrity and dignity of international law, all the other nations not being bombarded by Uncle Sam's children, and then bingo, Powerball, jackpot, then you're ready for live and let live. That comes from the Creator. Now, the question is, where is the Creator? The Creator ain't never went nowhere. That's
I'm surprised Mother Africa didn't get a promotion.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
The sons and daughters are who they was in the beginning. So when you have the popes, the cardinals, the bishops, the monsignors, when you have the ministers, the preachers, the pastors, and then you got the sheikhs and the imams, they're all men. Every last one of them who was deified is some male somewhere on the throne. That is an abomination to the Creator, and is an abomination to Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Mother Indigenous America, Mother Goddess, and Mother Africa. They are all live, living, breathing souls. It's so unfortunate that so many people have put women on the planet as second-class citizens, children as third-class citizens, and seniors as fourth-class citizens. So what I am telling you is that everybody got to repent. Ain't nobody right. Uncle Sam is the craziest uncle on the planet, and if you don't believe me, go talk to the other 99% of the nation. So we in this country got to stop the killing and start healing and stop the killing and start building. Then we'll have the discussion that we're supposed to have on how we're going to get out of this SOS.
And stop bothering other people and start healing.
Well, first of all, let's talk about ancient time real quick.
Like I told you, Lord.
All religion started from Africa. So when you're talking about praying or religion, all of it comes from Africa. Yes, all
Africa.
Religion comes from Africa, factually.
Why are women deified? Why
I don't
deified?
Think Mormons did.
So all religion comes
from
Africa.
Deified? Why aren't women deified?
Okay,
why do we know God?
I agree with you, sir, because you know why? Because there is no higher. No, man is no higher than woman, and woman is no higher than man.
Actually, women are deified.
Right, exactly. But
if you were to look at the Tetragrammaton, which is the name of God in Hebrew, If you were to look at that, it has male and female characters.
But see, right, but you have to realize
there's
a pre-dynasty period,
and there's a dynasty period.
You're
talking about the Baphomet.
But, yeah, right,
no,
but
not.
Before any white man has started, Egyptians fought against Egyptians, sir. Mankind has always fought against each other. We haven't come up with that solution yet.
I'm not talking
about
the Baphomet.
He's talking about ancient time. He's talking about the European culture. Before the European culture, it was still chaos and confusion. Even in Egypt, you had to go to a priesthood at 7, and it took, what, 40 years to be that? It was certain rights. Everybody was
an
unbalanced society.
I think it's man nature to be confused
and
argue.
But in the pre-dynastic period, everyone was equal. But one thing I can say about the dynasty period, it was still religion, though, sir. Someone looking at another person as higher, god and goddesses. Well, if everybody is a god and goddesses, everybody is equal, but they still had a rank, which to me is total chaos and confusion. It's just like a religion. No man is higher than nobody.
I don't know.
They
maybe it's total
monarchy.
Chaos and confusion
Egyptians
if everybody's
come from the
equal.
So religion, everything comes from the Egyptians. You're speaking facts, sir.
Where you get that foolish?
Speaking facts.
He's speaking in fact,
no,
girl.
You know what? Let me tell you something. I told you about your facts before,
the
sir.
The oldest
when
human fossil
I told you
is
about your
Ethiopia.
Facts before.
And look,
I wish you would cut it out.
Look where the Nile River is, sir. They migrated up. That's a fact. So first civilization
like I said,
started
I wish you would
Ethiopia.
Cut it out.
You can't separate it
all right,
from the
three
first,
at a time. Only three
man.
At a time.
All right.
Three
at a time. Three at a time. Once it starts to four or five at a time, I can't keep up. But I've got to
all right, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hush. Thank you. All right. 313, welcome to the show. Go for it.
Thank you. I just wanted to say religion was never a dogma or propaganda for African people. Religion was what you did every day. You religiously got up and made your salutations to the sun. You religiously got up every day and took care of your family, fed your children, went to draw water, went to plant food. You religiously loved your neighbor as you loved yourself. You collectively agreed upon what was good for the greatest good. So I don't know, religion is something very abstract that we have tried to fit into, and from the conversation and from what I'm hearing, we don't understand what we're saying or what we're even involved in. We're not even conscious of it. We're just going along, just
follow.
A free entity with no direction.
What about the Book of the Dead, man?
Man,
the
first
the
one that got to say
that's a religious book.
That's what I just told Lowe when we were having our private conversation, the same thing the lady just said.
Yeah, but she speaks as though all the tribes in Africa, that it was just a bunch of harmony.
No,
and there was no war and there was no conflict.
Well, we certainly didn't have the boundaries that exist today. You were able to move where it was conducive for you to survive. So the boundaries that are developed today, even in the United States where we, you know, we stay within our backyard and that yard is the next person's, you know, land was something that belonged to everybody. So we have to, you know,
things have changed.
We have to rethink everything we've learned, everything.
Let me ask you a question. I'm not going to think too far out of reality
of
what
know
really
you're not.
Exists.
313, right. Let me ask you a question. What do you follow? What do you follow? What do you believe in?
Mr. Talk Show.
Huh? I'm asking you. Could I ask her, you what, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, what, any of that? I was raised a Christian, but as I got older, I've been working to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I am a universal, loving being. I'm connected to every living entity on the planet and even beyond.
Oh, okay.
I am not.
Well, let me ask this one question. Okay.
But we don't have to get personal because all of us have the same challenges to deal with, and that is that polarity within ourselves, the good and the evil.
The righteous
and the devilish one. We all have the same shit to deal with. So I mean, it's not about being personal. I'm just trying to share truth that we can all witness every day.
No, Lo's here to give truth.
How you doing, Sister Ottawa?
I'm good, Sister Ngone. How's my Sister Antoinette?
She's here. She's out.
Look out. Now, here's the question.
Does religion play any part in the voting decision? Does religion play any part in that?
Sure does.
How?
If that is one of your modes of activity that you participate in religiously when it comes around for you to participate and you do, then that's a part of your religion.
It certainly does. Have you ever heard of what's called the religious right?
Yeah,
there are many people in this country that won't vote for a candidate that supports abortion because abortion is against their religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. But when they bring that to the
table, this dude here, man,
God, that, Michael, you ain't got to come in on everything, bro.
I have clients all throughout the South.
So far. Wow.
that identify themselves as Christians, and a lot of them, you know, they have some ass backwards ideas. You know, or, you know, the traditional ideas that you hear from the people on the religious right. And that's their first criteria. You know, is he a good Christian man? That's what a lot of the problem a lot of them have with Obama. They don't feel that he's a Christian. So yeah, many people vote their religious beliefs. Or their lack of religious beliefs.
And a lot of them
usually
think that
the book of,
and a lot of them think that they punish him.
No, you didn't.
In the negative two Frederick's confessions, like I said before, religion about worshiping something, thinking of afterlife, you happen to have this certain symbol to feel a certain way.
No,
that is
no, that's
religion.
A lie.
You symbolize
Let him talk. That's adultery,
you
idiot. That's adultery.
And you say that symbol is higher than you. It's
Let
still the
talk.
Same thing we're playing with words. Let's look at the action. But I'm saying that comes from ancient of times, ma'am. See, when I look at it, I don't have no biases. When people look at history, they look at, well, the black side and the white side. I look at it the facts. I don't look at it with no bias. I have no biases when I look at history, and I call things what it is. Egyptians taught religion. The concepts come from Egypt.
No, it came before that. Civilization came from the south on the Nile, which takes you down to the mountain of Kilimanjaro.
Which is the top of the Nile.
The oldest people are from the Old Dubai Gorge. And so we came north up the Nile. Civilization came up the Nile.
Exactly.
And then out into the world.
That's the truth. The oldest bones were found
in
Tanzania, Kenya, around there.
But you can't separate the people that migrated up from the people that migrated up. You can't separate them from the first original people. And I agree with you. Yes, we did. So everything started from Africa. That's a
Can
fact.
I ask a question?
All the religious concepts and all that type of stuff.
Can I ask a question? Can somebody answer?
Yes.
Did it say anywhere in his commandment that you had to belong to a religion?
No.
Well, how did people
Absolutely
get to
not.
Start this stuff with religion or what church they belong to? It didn't say nothing about what he wanted you to do. He left
That's
you.
It. You answered it for yourself.
Well, don't follow it. Because if we did, we would never have to have a discussion of none of this stuff that we hear other people doing.
Right.
Because if we was following his law, we are following his word.
Well, in ancient times, when people murdered somebody, they got convicted. They went to jail. They had jails back then. So, see, even in ancient times, before the Ten Commandments was ever written archaeologically, you had people say, thou should not steal, thou should not commit adultery, all of that stuff. That's written. That's a fact. So people had law.
Where that's at?
Confession. What do you mean? Do your research.
No, I'm asking you. You bring a point.
You bring a point. I'm asking you, where can I find that point?
You can find it. You can go on any Google. You can go to Google and Google up negative.
There's someone speaking softly in the background with an answer.
Let them answer the question.
Okay. Nobody.
Oh, here's Guy Bones. They're called the Negative Confessions of Tahuti, and you can look up Patah and also the 42 Confessions of Mayat. These are all simple things. Just put what he's saying is true. Mostly what is
right,
being taken
have,
is
right.
But hold on. This ain't got nothing to do with voting, though. We jumped off into spirituality now. Are we going back into voting, or are we going to stay on spirituality? Because I want to make
right.
sure.
You still
want
to get a conscience of people, though, Bob Bones. See, this is what you're saying. How would you run your government? This is my question to you. How would you get a consensus of all the people in whatever type of country or system you want? If this is struck, how would you get a consensus of the people?
Okay.
You have to get a consensus of the people. Listen, if this government is not right, if you had your way to start all this up, how would you, Dry Bones, get a consensus of all of the people in this country on certain issues that we go to? How would you get a consensus?
Be honest with you, we're not going to get 100% consensus. We'll probably have to go with a percentage that would be close enough because everybody got different views.
How would you get that percentage, Dry Bones?
We'll have to talk to the people and give, like we're doing now, dialogue. Unfortunately, it had to come to a dialogue.
Right, but how are we going to make a record, though? I mean, just talking, we have no record.
We're
going to
have to vote.
We're going to
have to
vote.
Exactly.
That's what he
wants to do.
Yeah. Bottom line, that's I'm going to say no
the
more.
Majority rules.
I'm done.
That's not the issue because you're right. Voting is not the problem. We're talking about does our vote count in the system we're in. Voting's been going on since ancient times. You know
to say our vote counts because even in your – well, okay, so how are you going to ensure in your system that everybody who votes in your consensus poll, that their voting counts? How are you going to do it since we ain't doing it right now? How are you going to do it? I'm listening
again,
to you.
Now we're going to go into where we're missing. We have to be moral people for it to really be of confidence. If we got corruption and greed – that's the problem. But we are moral systems. I wouldn't have to worry about you lying about the vote. I wouldn't have to worry about my vote being not counted. I would know. So morality plays a lot into the system.
No, let's say
isn't
you're in charge
of
security of the vote. You are in charge of making sure no fraud is when people go and cast their vote out of the room. You are in charge of making sure no fraud is happening. How would you do it?
He said every woman would have to be moral.
I could not do it in this present system. But if we was to turn to a new system that morality was, truth was the light, then I could be trustworthy. Transparency was true, but I can't do that now because we don't have that. What we have now is a mafia system.
How are you going to get everyone to be moral?
Well, we had a moral system, this one wouldn't be that bad if we were moral people. See, the system is what we're into ain't that outrageous. It's just that it's corrupt by
He can't answer
people.
The question. I'm done.
He is answering the question.
I mean, what you want me to tell you? Some magical stuff?
If you listen to yourself, Bob Bones, you're going around in circles.
No, oh my goodness.
Because everybody's not going to see. When you vote, you have to say everyone is not going to think
you,
like
you don't
Michael
really,
or
you
Bob
really
Bob
don't.
Bones.
You know what? I think you hear people, but it doesn't
compute
in your
mind. I don't think you hear yourself.
Yeah.
He's talking about in order to
you know
get
what,
a
Mike,
consensus.
I talk a lot, Mike. Mike, I talk a lot, but I listen to people, and most of the –
But
most of the time, I listen to people and I understand what they're saying. I understand what you're saying a lot of the times, at least lately. What he's saying, and he keeps saying it over and over again, is that until there's a sense of morality, of uniform morality, that he wouldn't be able to make any system work just because of the.
That's correct.
What he's saying.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
So I hear what he's saying. So he's going to keep
Bones,
saying the same thing.
Was that Thomas Jefferson that said free people have to be a moral people? Was that Thomas Jefferson?
Yes, they have to be.
His slave owner now, having babies with his.
I mean, like you said before, I'm going a long time ago when we talk, you say this system is not, it's a republic. If it was run in a proper state, we wouldn't have a problem. But we don't have second balances now. We have become an immoral corporation. We're not even a government. We're an immoral corporation. So I cannot change immoral corporation until the people say they're tired. That's when it can be changed. When the people say they're tired, then I guarantee you we'll have a major change.
You know,
but see,
like
the example is like Michael is so invested in believing that the system is what he was taught that it is, he can't see the forest for looking at the trees.
That was said about Roy Wood. The forest for the trees said about Roy Wood.
Now, I can hear you, Dry Bones. You know, Dry Bones,
What is the solution for somebody? Dry Bones said about corruption and greed we have to stop. What is the solution to get the majority of the people to stop corruption and greed? Because I know religion hasn't stopped it yet.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
You know what the solution probably is? There's two things.
Real brief.
Said it could be bloodshed. I think it would take an act of God.
It would take an act of God.
No. Didn't do nothing for it.
To be honest with you, okay, for instance, say by next year we are all practically destitute. You can only run a rat to the wall, and he's going to come at you, and that's what's going to happen. Once we get our basic needs starts to get cut, like any nation has done. Just look at the nations who have been cut, and we a nation who have weapons, so that's the scary part. So once our needs are being cut, we're going to change. It's like being in anything. Calamity brings unification, unfortunately.
That's the reason why those people raised up in Egypt, because they were paying 70% of their income for food.
And
that infrastructure was crazy. But so you're saying you're forecasting that. So what I'm saying is, since you're saying that now, is there any way for us to prevent that total chaos? Because you're painting me a bleak picture. And the only way Michael's saying is before that happened, we have ways, if we can find ways to do it politically, you can't say the political system is messed up and then try to be political. You can't say that we don't have no control over it and then try to change it.
All I'm saying is, you need, and let's be fair, I voted before. Everybody, I believe everybody at the early age or stop has voted once in their life. We all believed it. After you find out after so many votes that your paycheck has been cut, all health services, and you find out it's all going to corporate greed, you are going to have to realize they're not going to stop. A mafia figure never stops till you kill. So basically,
you should have thought knowing that before you started voting. Before you could even vote, you know the system was like that.
Not really.
I'm not saying you sister, because you might have known. I'm saying in general. I'm not talking about, because everybody on this phone got some understanding, and I'm not diminishing nothing. Everybody in here got just as much understanding as everybody.
Emailed a senator or called their senator in the last year? Just emailed a senator about a political issue or called him.
And guess what?
I don't get on how to be my senator. It could be anything dealing with I'm going to write you a letter. I ain't going to sit up and complain to people about it. I'm complaining to the person that I put in office about it.
Exactly. And
you know,
that's
the person
that if he doesn't do it, you vote him out. That's all you
somebody
do.
In office.
You vote their asses out. That's
Hold
it.
On. Let me ask
we
you
have the power.
There's only two ways to change the system. One is to get all of them out, which isn't going to happen because Americans are blind, deaf, dumb, and stupid. And the other way is the way Beasley had said before, bloodshed.
No, Drybone said bloodshed.
Okay, whoever said bloodshed.
I want God to come back.
What did it do?
I said, I'm going to give you a perfect example. Remember we had a movement for reparations. I mean, it was in the mid-80s, early 90s, everybody was signing petitions. I remember getting hundreds of them, at least 50,000 with my crew down here. And when we went to Carrie Meeks, I'm going to mention her, Carrie Meeks, she took them, but guess what? They made a deal in Washington that, we're going to do a study now. And that's what they do. Once it's out into the D.C. area, it totally changes because D.C. is not part of the United States.
Can I explain something about reparations? The reparation thing, when people say they're going to do sign petition for reparation, you got too many corners to go around different groups talking about a reparation. You don't have just one group stuck together to make it as one big bowl.
Right,
you got a group over here for one
effective.
Thing, and that's why
right,
it ain't
exactly.
going to never work.
Right, exactly.
But
oh,
that's what's causing the problem.
Right,
it's not
exactly.
It's the two. It's the, all the different groups in the reparation thing. One was
the most
reparations
and that. They've been affected.
Because if everybody
right.
would have followed College G. Wilson, you would have had it in the front play, but nobody followed him at all.
Right.
Well,
the more to say that they've been affected and all that type of stuff.
But my point is, people, you have a right for redress. It's in the Constitution. But when we went to the Congress, that was a time when Farrakhan had all that Million Man March stuff. That was a prime time. When we got to the Senate and the Congress in Washington, D.C.,
no.
they had a secret meeting with John Conyers, and all of a sudden, we're not going to go for a referendum. We're going to do a study. And each state apologized without any monetary thing.
Well,
you have to realize these are meetings happening behind closed doors. I don't care if you get
what?
A million signatures tomorrow.
It, that
if
mean
these
you
guys
go to
D.C., it won't happen.
You supposed to give up?
Well, I just want to say something. See, for seven or eight straight months, the Democratic Party, when they passed that health care bill, they could have passed any law in this country, and no one in the world could have stopped it. Democrats as a party for changing any laws, in the, they could have passed reparations. The president was a Democrat, the House and the Senate was
yeah.
a Democrat, right. So where was the protest then? Where was Al Sharpton then? Where were those black leaders then? They had it.
Because
well,
they
just brought out.
Keep on looking
to
Washington.
Well, that's the whole problem.
You cannot look to the jailers to change the policy of the prison.
They never do.
Especially when they're making money off the prison and they got
of
finding people to put in it.
They're making money off of this.
Jesus.
Well, think about it. If jails are on Wall Street right now, the prison system is on Wall Street. I had a paper. I looked it up. It's called something. You can find it out. It's making money. They projected to have such and such amount of jails built by 2017.
I'm not talking about the actual prison industrial complex. I'm talking about Congress itself. They're the jailers of the United States citizens.
You cannot look to your jailers to
give you freedom.
No, I'm sorry. They're so good, they're going to make more jails. That's my point. So they already saying, we're the jailers, we're going
to
create more jails and make money off of them.
Who's stopping you from going to jail right now, Joe?
I'm not talking about jails in a literal form. Now you're going to go open the jails and paroles. I'm talking about the real crux of the real problem is Congress. 435 people rule this nation, but they're ruled by lobbyists. If you continue to look to any other type of source of getting any type of solution without looking to Congress, you're looking in a wrong direction.
The lobbyists
are the ones that control Congress.
It's the money in politics, and that's what keeps your representatives from looking out for the overall good of the people.
Yeah, Mike.
You know anything about economics?
Kind of a little.
Right. Isn't government is a part of economics? You can't take government out of economics, right?
Right.
Exactly. So, Joe, you have to look at it for something, but I agree with you. Not everything, but when we do look up for something, let it be something important and we can have a consensus about it. You can't say
the
government the
thing
can
is, even if you
no
have
type
a
of purpose because they represent the consensus of the people.
Okay, but here's the fly in the ointment, Mike. Everybody can have a consensus. Everybody can have
petitions. Please let him respond.
But if you have you can have 50 million people sign petitions, but if you're giving them to Congress, what are they going to do? Just what Drybone said. Well, let's have a committee. And then they make a backdoor deal, and those petitions are gone. You're looking to the jailers to free you. They don't want to free you.
That's right.
Hold on. What are
they
you talking about?
They want to keep the status quo.
You're talking about a state petition. A state petition means when you get a certain signatures, that petition will go on the ballot the next election time. They'll say yes or nay, and the bill will be passed.
Right. That's a nice civic lesson.
Right.
But how are you going to do it when
they're corrupt?
The citizens
don't have nothing to do with that. Exactly.
Right. You're talking about two different systems. You're talking about a state initiative system that would make something a state law, and Joe was talking about something on the federal level which would make it a law for all of the states.
Right.
Right, exactly. You still can, right, but so guess what? You can pressure your senators then.
Okay.
Just like they did with Obama. Why
yeah,
did Obama
yeah.
try to kill him? Because senators said their constituents, no, the citizens.
Mike believes.
Okay.
Mike is patriotic, like Dry Bone said.
Yeah. Mike is very patriotic, but okay. Anyway, enough. Vernon, I know you've been patiently, my brother. Are you still there? Vernon?
Yeah,
I guess.
I'm still here, Eric. I'm just listening, man.
Oh, now you're listening. Well, your listening time about up, brother. You want
to
put some last words in?
But everybody was talking, and, everybody asked a lot of good stuff, to bring people. I just said, well, I might as well just hush and just listen, get educated a little bit, but. I think one of the biggest problems, Eric, is even in this show out here is a lot of individualism. As long as everybody's divided the way we are, even on this show, we'll never get anything accomplished. We just do a lot of talking, man. Individualism is good in some aspect, but not every aspect.
That's true. That's a true statement now. Thank you, brother, and take care. Stay out the cold. All right.
While you were gone, we had a new caller.
I heard him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't catch his name either, but I got him. I heard him.
Okay.
Very interesting. Very insightful. Yeah, that's how we got on. That's how we ended up on the religion side of the voting house. Yeah, see, I was listening.
Okay.
Let's see. 313. I'll get your name right eventually.
Sister,
last
Ottawa.
Words, ma'am.
Yeah.
Ottawa.
I just want to say, I think that in order for some change to take place, we have to be able to make an agreement with one another. If we say that, well, I don't have the answers, but if you have some answers and I have trust in you, then I'm behind you. And that's what we have to learn to do. Other groups do that. They have their meetings. They decide who they're going to follow, and that's who they follow. When you talked about a plebiscite earlier, that is one of the things that can come out of a plebiscite, that people learn to shut up and listen to one who has a good foundation to make change. And we haven't been able to do that. So maybe we can think about that and dialogue on that piece in the future. And everyone have a blessed day.
Thank you for your input, Sister Ottawa.
Yes, thank you, Sister Ottawa, for that insight. Oh, that was good. I like that. All right, let's see if this man here going to say a little bit today. Joe, where you been?
I always say a little bit. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's me. You know me.
Well, Joe, I think you were making an excellent point about, when you were trying to explain to Michael. I wish you could have expounded on that longer.
What was it?
That you can't free, the jailers are not going to free the prison.
Oh,
they're not going to change the prison, yeah.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
All right. The thing is, there's the one, the only problem, the major problem, let's say, and I don't want to start a debate on that, the major problem we have in America is what? The laws that are repressive, right? Who makes the law?
Mm-hmm.
Congress. Now, we can sweep out, as they've always been saying for the last few decades, sweep the rascals out. But we don't. Why don't we? We're brainwashed. How? Because everybody in their own individual state, as I said before, nationally, everybody has like a 6%, 9% approval rating of Congress. It's the lowest in history. We think of pig vomit or the flu, literally, as something better than Congress. But why do these assholes keep getting voted in? Because the guy or the girl in Massachusetts, they think those bastards in Wyoming and Montana and New York and Florida, they're the culprits. But my guy, my Massachusetts senator, he's great. So each individual jerk off in each individual state keeps thinking that their individual senator or congressman is good while the other 49 are bastards. So as a result, they keep voting in the same schmucks, and they keep getting the same people in there in Congress to be the jailers because they're the ones who pass the laws. We don't pass the laws. They pass the laws. They pass the laws without our consent. Just because we go through a system where we elect people, what happens after we elect them? We don't know what they do. Do they come to us? No. They get the money from the lobbyists. The lobbyists and Congress run our destiny until we change it. The only way to change it is to get all of them out and put in people that we consider to be people of integrity. But we're not doing it. The other way, as I forget who suggested it, is like Thomas Jefferson suggested it, a revolution. But if we start a revolution now, or let's say in the future, when our police become paramilitary, we don't have a shot, okay? I don't give a fuck if we have, I think we have 300 million guns here in the United States out of 305 million Americans. It doesn't matter. We don't have tanks. We don't have Humvees. We don't have communications. We don't have satellites. We don't have control over the borders. So if there is a civil war, any kind of war, the American people are done, dead meat. And if we don't unify, we're going to either die slowly or we're going to die all at once. Simple.
Well, Mr. Thank you, Joe. And Mr. Talk, I know you're doing last words, but can I do my last words in response to Joe, please?
Yes, you can.
Well, Joe, I think your points were very good, but I just wanted to add one thing. Remember when the Tea Party organized and they put a whole bunch of, I don't remember the exact number, but they put, you know, pulled out some representatives and put in some new ones,
sure,
that they thought were going to do their bidding, and they turn around, some of them change parties in the middle of the stream,
exactly,
and all that. You remember?
Sure.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another indicator of just how, you know, this whole thing of talking about your representatives, I keep saying that all they did when they had the Emancipation Proclamation was transfer ownership of their slaves from private ownership to public ownership, and the Congress are not our representatives. They're our slave masters.
Precisely, and those people who are, right now we have something like 100 million people getting a check from the United States government. Welfare, government check from working, government worker, they're the ones who sign the checks. So if the government says, you know what, I don't want to sign these checks anymore because some false flag or because in the media, the propaganda says, oh, my God, the dollar's devalued. Oh, my God, the stock market's crashed. What happens? Food stamps get taken away. Welfare gets taken away. And if there's a strike, a longshoreman strike, 30 days, we don't even eat. They're
the
ones who are in control of us.
Yeah.
And
they're in the process
the
of doing, taking away food stamp benefits right now as we speak.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to do more than just wake up, but people don't keep voting in the Democrats and the Republicans. When have they done anything good for America?
Never.
Hmm.
All right? So that's my opinion.
All right. Well,
good
thank
point.
You, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Very good point. All right. Next up in the chute, Mr. Antoinette.
Well, Mr. Talk and Sister Agonia, it was a very good show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
My last words would just be, as with everything else, if you feel that your vote counts, then vote. If you don't feel that it doesn't count, then don't vote. I mean, for everything, it's a personal decision, and people are going to do what they want to do, and, you know, how I feel about something and someone else feels about it is not going to change a thing. So unless you do your own research to make your own decision, then that's the only thing you can do.
Well,
so
I want to – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Antoinette.
Oh, I was done. I'm sorry to stick on you.
I just wanted to thank you again for putting that link of Season of Treason.
Yes.
That's one that really explains the, you know, the delusion that we're under as far as how this system really works. It really breaks it down and shows you both sides, the illusion versus what the real deal is. So I urge everyone, if you can, to please look at that documentary because it really opens your eyes.
All righty. Well, thank you, Antoinette, and thank you for having the chat room for
and thank you for the jazz that you played today. I love it.
Wasn't that
it.
Nice, Antoinette? I was in here hollering. I'm serious. Paul Hardcastle had.
What are you doing to my sister? Now, we're going to have a talk.
Okay.
All righty. All righty. Let's see. Who's up next in the shoot? Let's see. I think this is Michael. Are you there?
Wait. No.
Not
Michael.
I guess not. Guess it's Beasley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good show. I enjoy your show the most of a lot of these shows that I call into. I guess it's a mix of people and the way that you control it or let it run uncontrolled. You know, Joe's right. Well, Joe's right to an extent. He still believes the answer is in the political process. I don't. I don't know what the answer is. It's going to take something divine or bloodshed or both. No one's going to let go of power willingly. As far as the police departments being paramilitarized, they're already paramilitarized. If you didn't know that already, it happened after 9/11 when they were given millions and millions and millions of dollars to step their military game up, and you saw evidence of that in Boston. They look just like the military. Just a quick note. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. Tea Party representative just pled guilty to a cocaine charge in Washington, D.C. His name is Trey Radel from Florida. Or Randell, or Radel, and I guess he got caught up in a drug sting. And the amazing thing, it's only a misdemeanor. And apparently he bought 3.5 grams. I think he bought it in the street. But he got caught, and he just pleaded guilty today. Now, that would be a felony just about anywhere else. And I guess they lowered the penalties in D.C. so that, you know, like everybody wouldn't be in jail. I'm fascinated by this. I also remember when Marion Barry got convicted of a misdemeanor of cocaine possession, and it wasn't anywhere near this amount. It's probably a very small amount. He did 6 months in prison, and I wonder if the same thing's going to happen to this guy.
Heck
well,
no.
Apparently not. No, that doesn't seem right. Hold on a second. As a member of Congress, read this one paragraph. As a member of Congress, Radel has co-sponsored legislation to change the nation's mandatory minimum drug sentencing laws, which I guess is a good thing. But he voted for a bill that called for states to drug test people who receive food stamps.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like I always say.
His name is Trey Radel. But no, I think he's trying to plead guilty and try to get this swept under the bridge as possible. I'm going to bookmark this on my little iTouch. Other than that, everybody have a good day. I enjoyed the show as usual.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Beasley.
And
sure.
And to go back about the paramilitary for the police, y'all don't believe it. The only thing is go to DOD directive 3000.05 to B, and they'll tell you everything you need to know about that. You can go right there online and look it up. Trust me, I'm telling you. And just look under irregular warfare. You have a whole section on that. So if you don't think they're about to wage war against the civilian population, you better pay attention. That's all I'm going to say on that one. All right, let's see. Miss Mays.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. They wanted to test the people to keep them couldn't get food stamps and stuff. They need to go test the Congress and see how many of them, just like the man in Canada, they need to go test them and see how many of them on drugs that keep sending people to prison where they're making money from in order for them to stay rich. And also, I'm not a follower. I don't follow people. I listen, I learn, but I don't follow. So if you follow yourself, you don't have to worry about being caught up with something somebody else is carrying you to. You can look at it, but that don't mean you got to be a part of it, or you got to catch on to it. Because we just passing through this earth. We don't have nothing to do with this. We just passing through. And while I'm passing through, I ain't trying to start no civil war, and I ain't trying to be in one. Because that's been done.
well, I don't know if you're going to get away with not being in one. But okay.
I'm not trying to be in one. Unless they're going to give me a tank, that's the only reason I would be in one, if they're going to let me have a tank instead of a gun. Because I don't want nobody's weapon.
All right, well, you better go and start getting the parts now.
What?
All right. Nothing. All right. Thank you, Maze. You too. Oh. All right. Last but not least, who do we have here? Hello. Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's somebody else. I guess Beasley dropped and called in on another number because I got him twice. But okay. Either way, we get rid of that number. All right. Well, co-host, another outstanding show, huh?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Everybody had some good input, and it was lively. And if I may just say the quote of the day that I told you I was going to say instead of the one I did, I think everybody might appreciate this. Just when I accepted the meaning of life, they changed it. George Carlin.
That seems so fitting right now, doesn't it?
You have to laugh to keep from crying, don't you?
Yes, goodness. I'm telling you. Well, y'all know what day is. Today is Wednesday. Tomorrow is what? Thursday. That means we have the minister, Willie Signal, on tomorrow night on relationships. I don't know exactly what he's going to be talking about. Y'all know last week was communication, so as far as what he's going to be talking about tomorrow night, I don't know. But he will be here. I've already talked to him, so we're going to have that going on as well. And once again, I want to thank everybody for being here today. As Sister Ngoni say, man, there were some great points. You know, I like the actual back and forth that was going on. But, you know, some of y'all, I understand the passion that you have for what you believe in. But as a lot of the callers said, and even in the chat room, sometimes you have to stop and listen, though. You know, and maybe one day, once we all decide to listen to somebody else's point of view and really listen, maybe we can do something about the vote count not. You know, because right now, I'm going to tell you, personally, my personal opinion is they don't count worth a crap. They really don't. You know, the more I get into it, it don't count. Now, is it good to say you did it so everybody will think you part of the crowd, if that's what you want to do? You know, hey, but you can change it. Run for office. Maybe that's what some of us need to do, just run for office and see how it is on the other side. Then maybe if I say, well, maybe the votes count. Hey.
Well, there's been a lot of people, Mr. Talk, that have gone and done that very thing, and I think they were integral people, but the system is designed. The problem is that once you get up in there, you either play by their rules, or you'll find yourself in serious problems. You know, nobody gets in there that they haven't already taken to the woodshed and they got some dirt on them.
That's true. That is true. But you know, sometimes you still got to stand up for what you believe in. If it means being taken to the woodshed, okay. You know.
No, but what I mean by taken to the woodshed is that they got some dirt on them. They,
I know what you mean. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Along with the corruption. Once you get up there, I mean, you may have all the intentions in the world of changing things and doing the right thing and all that. But as an individual, you get up there, it's a systemic problem.
Mm-hmm.
And one individual, two can't change.
Okay. Yeah, you may have a point there.
Opinion. You know, just my opinion. And I would like to say what Dry Bones was saying. Yes, I went to vote once in my life. I was 19 years old. I believed everything I was taught. I went to vote in a presidential election, and they refused to take my ballot. I left. I went home, and I told my mother what happened. And she said, you go back there, and you cast your vote. And I went back, but I never after that, I said, uh-uh. I knew then this system is no good. It's not right.
Yeah, that's like being given a dose of castor oil. And you know, I don't know how many of y'all know about it, but that's like being given a dose of castor oil and made to swallow. You know, some of the old timers know about what that is. And that's not the best thing, that's for sure. But all right, y'all, well, we're going to get up out of here. And we put you in with some jazz, so we're going to take you out with the jazz. the Mama Bear mix, Wednesday mix. Hey, y'all know what though? I love y'all all. Y'all all right with me. So Antoinette says that is nasty. Yes, it is. All right. But before we get out of there, Sister Ngoni,
yes.
Is there an email they can reach you at?
Yes, it's ngonea@yahoo.com. And please, if you put on the subject line, Mr. Talk Show, so I can answer you back. Look forward to hearing from anyone that's interested.
All righty. Thank you, ma'am. And don't forget some email requests or even just suggestions at ericletstalk@gmail.com. And don't forget the Facebook page, Let's Talk with Jackson at facebook.com. I'm always there off and on, so, hey, check it out. All right,
hey, Mr. Talk,
well, that's going to do it. Yes.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, go ahead. I was just going
to
get up out.
I wanted to throw this in real quick. I know you're trying to end the show. But after that, I joined the National Black Independent Party. I don't know if anybody out there in the audience remembers that. I think that was in the 80s. You know, black people were trying to organize themselves and be politically responsible. And every time we had a meeting, the police would harass us and break it up.
Mm.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Hey, see, we may have to use the underground. The underground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they organize underground and take it to the top. Hey, that's a thought. That is a thought. All right, mm-hmm. y'all. Well, we going to get up out of here. Hope everybody had a good one. Enjoy the rest of your hump day. And we see y'all tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, and 4 Mountain Time. Until tomorrow night, y'all, y'all have a good one. We out of here.